Purpose isn't reserved for a chosen few. It awakens the moment you decide to answer your own call. This show is about inspiring you and helping
Remember
you to remember that you also have a purpose.
Hi, Effie.
Hi.
I'm so excited that you're here today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my goodness.
I adore you, so this is an honor to share space with you.
Yes. Ever since we met, even though when we met at brunch, it was really quick, but I loved when you came into the store and we got to get to know each other. And I'm excited about this. So the YouTube show that we're doing is all about, well, it's two parts, but this part is about showcasing people in our community and globally at some point who are making an impact, who had a vision with something in their heart that said, I want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so here we are. We're going to get to talk about Maddie's Movement, this beautiful organization that you have built and are continuing to grow. And I'm just really excited to share, because one of the things that is important to me is to provide support and provide ways that I can help to impact mm-hmm. raising consciousness and helping people to really step into the power. And so for me to get to showcase somebody like you who has done that mm-hmm. and is doing that is a big deal. And it's also about inspiring others mm-hmm. to take that leap. Mm-hmm. Like if they have something in their heart that says, hey, you know, this would be a really good idea. This would help. I think, you know, when you can showcase those stories of people who they're just like you and me, like yeah. we're all in this together doing the best job that we can. So for me, the opportunity to be able to do that with you is just, I'm super excited about it.
Thank you. As am I.
Good.
Let's get going.
Let's get going. Okay. So for people who are just meeting you, I want you to just start by talking a little bit about who you are outside of the founder, mother, author, speaker, like who is Effie Santos?
Ooh, that's a hard question.
Right off the bat.
That's Effie. A hard question. So Effie is someone that really wants to help people, wants to be bold in how she does it. Effie loves people. And Effie just wants to make this world better.
Yeah.
And have a ripple effect. So when I'm not here any longer, that I left it a little bit better.
Yeah. And creating a legacy on a few levels.
Yes.
On a few levels.
Yes.
It's really cool. And so what would be a defining moment that sort of shaped that for you? This want to make the world a better place and to help others, because that's a key thing for you is lifting others.
It is. And I actually think it started when I was young
mm-hmm.
in school. I think a lot of it stems from my parents, especially my mom. Without knowing at the time what she had to endure and go through, but she created a great life for me, and she just did it. So I think subconsciously growing up in that environment, I mean, we weren't rich. My mom was born in Greece. There was a civil war when she was 3, mm-hmm. so she was shipped off to Romania until she was 16.
Wow.
So she lived in an orphanage, but she said she had a great life there. She was taken care of. So her and my dad were in arranged marriage when she was 20.
Oh, my goodness.
Only one generation away. And neither of my parents actually even graduated high school. My dad was from Albania and he left the country by accident with a friend when he was young and wasn't able to go back. And as an arranged marriage, married for 10 years, they finally had me. And when I was 5, we moved to Indian Rocks Beach here. And my parents had a fruit stand for like 12 years. And that's the life I knew, but my parents had to learn how to speak English. They worked hard and they just did. And so I think it stemmed from all of that. And while being in school, it's funny because right before COVID, I had a friend find me on Facebook, and not knowing, it was so nice that she reached out to me because she's like, "You changed my life when we were in high school." It was hard for her to acclimate. She was new, and being so kind to her and that, which was so great to hear.
Sure.
But it matters.
Yes.
It matters. And we don't know, just being kind to people and caring for them, the effect it has on them then and then in the future.
Wow. And that's got to be in some way tied to Maddie's movement, if we're thinking about it, because you being able to have that kind of impact without really knowing it, and here you are providing services for support and services for foster kids aging out. It's such a beautiful mission. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Maddie is such a huge part mm-hmm. of this movement for you. And everything about the mission is tied to her. So can you talk a little bit about her?
Absolutely. Maddie is, we used to say, she's like, I'm a mini you, right? She's my mini me, but very spunky, sweet, beautiful. I always used to tell her she's a trifecta. She's beautiful on the inside out. She has such a great personality and a big heart. And she was always lifting others up. Always lifting others up. I remember having conversations to say, that's great, but make sure people are also filling you up.
Sure.
Because we need that as well. And she, when she was in high school, her high school was by a group home. So those kids went to the high school. And so she was exposed to teens in foster care.
Okay.
And recognize they didn't have the same opportunities as her and other people. I also think stemming back to my mom, my girls adore my mom, she's a big part of their life always. And so knowing what my mom had went through, and the life that we've built also to give opportunities to my girls, Maddie just wanted to change that for these teens in foster care. And she knew it wasn't right. It wasn't okay. And she wanted to advocate for change. I used to take her out networking with me when I was with in a women's group with attorneys and judges. She wanted to get into law. So to meet those people, to meet the guardian ad litem, to volunteer in that space so she can do what her heart was telling her to do.
That's beautiful. Is that something that you all talked about before she passed? Or was that some of the stuff that you sort of, not sort of, but explored in when you read her diary and got to see like some of what was going on with her?
No, we had a lot of conversations, okay. A lot of conversations beforehand. And I was helping her get immersed in that space, going out networking, having those conversations okay. with my friends to help her create her path.
All right. And to figure out what were the pieces that she was going to need, obviously.
Exactly. Exactly. And then reading her diary after she passed was just, it solidified so much and helped the foundation of what Maddie's movement is.
So let's talk a little bit about Maddie's movement. So we kind of know where it started. When did it? I think I read in the book that you launched it on her birthday.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about why you picked that date and where are things right now. Tell us a little bit about Maddie's movement.
So when I lost Maddie, everything stopped for me. The one thing I knew for sure, the only one thing I knew for sure, is I wanted to do something in her honor.
Okay.
But being in such a bad state for years, it was very difficult to move forward to figure out what is that mm-hmm. for me, having experienced such traumatic loss and grief of losing a child, yes, your heart is broken, but your body's broken, like physically. So much is going on. And for me, it became frustrating that I wasn't the person I was. Like, I couldn't do things. I couldn't leave my house. And then there's just layers upon layers when you're dealing with grief. So I...
And that type of grief.
And that type of grief.
Because that's... I think that, and I'm sure that we can all agree, that when you lose a child, like, that's probably the most challenging.
I would... Mm-hmm. I mean, I would... for sure say that I would. I think it's a whole, you're on a whole different planet. It's a whole different type of grief. And I think it's the worst thing that could happen to someone is losing a child. We're not supposed to lose our children first.
Exactly.
Ever. Tears out their futures. There's so much more to it. So when I did the TED talk, and I'm going to bring this up because I wasn't going to do the TED. The TED talk was supposed to be prior to COVID.
Oh, okay.
And it was, they wanted me to talk about strategies of changing from corporate to my own business. Okay. COVID okay. happened. It was rescheduled many, many times. Maddie's accident happened. And then I said, I can't do this. It was launched for February in 2022. And I'm sharing this because it leads up to the pivotal point of launching. So I was reading Maddie's journal, and when she was telling me, like, we used to say, suck it up, buttercup. She's like, Mom, when are you going to have a platform like this to talk about the power of the pause? But it was a chance for me to say that I was starting a foundation for my daughter, not knowing what it was at the time. So it was that injection from her that I was like, all right, I'm doing this. I'm changing the script to what the power of the pause is. And that was my focus for like 2 months. Like, I have to memorize this. Now I have to get out and be in front of like 300 people and all of that stuff. So, but I was doing it for her. So the love for her is what helped me.
What fueled you.
What fueled me.
Yeah.
And so after the TED talk, that gave me more motivation mm-hmm. to continue doing, building out the business, continue doing some R&D. I was meeting with nonprofits and young adults that have aged out to say, what are the gaps? Yeah. We wanted to fill in the gaps and not duplicate services and programs. And then I just had to say, I got to pick a date to keep me accountable
sure.
to continue moving forward. So I said it will be on Maddie's birthday, her 22nd birthday. And so when I put it out there, when we launched, I was like, okay, now we're doing this. Yeah. And at that point, I still wasn't in the best state of mind. It's been the best therapy and healing for me through Maddie's movement. And things have just grown tremendously, which is beautiful and crazy and scary at times. It's all of those things.
Yes.
But when we revamped our board just a year ago, I told them all, like, you got to have your tennis shoes on. Like, my mission here
is big.
Is big. So are you on board? Let's do this.
Wow. And I think, you know, when I was thinking about doing this, like, we're doing Meet the Author after this, and that part is so much about the power of the pause, but I can't not speak to it in this moment because it's such a big part of what you just talked about. But before I ask you the question that I want to ask, can you take me back in terms of the timeline? Because I got a little, like, not confused, but this idea of where the power of the pause, you had already completed the book before the TED Talk? Yeah. Or was it still like in process?
So after the TED Talk, mm-hmm. I was surprised on, actually how many people watched the TED Talk, like in 24 hours. And then the comments, and it was my husband last year that said, Effie, people clearly want more. I think you should write a book. And I was like, really? And so that was February of 2022. The power of the pause, I went through and left my corporate job in 2019. So I started the pause in 2018.
Okay. And that's why the book is, you know, the first part of it is all of that journey for you.
Yes. And many people think the book is about grief and about Maddie, but it's more than that.
100%. It's more than that. But how interesting that you went through that in terms of understanding the importance of the pause in your journey from the financial world into entrepreneurship, utilizing your challenges as opportunities, your grief into this beautiful experience of knowing yourself in a way or growing in a way that you didn't even know. And I have a very specific question that's written over there that now I'm like, about that. So it's just a beautiful testament to your process that you started in the entrepreneurial journey, but that you used to really help you through. Can you talk a little bit about that for yourself?
Sure. So the power of the pause happened by accident. And I finally was fed up. You want me to share?
Yeah. Whatever calls you to share.
There was a lot of things. I was fed up with, I've been wanting to own my own business.
And that goes back to when you were in cosmetology, because you had this vision of this salon that you were like, you had that already in your DNA that was happening somehow.
Yes, absolutely. It was, I used to have, growing up, we would have tree houses on the floor, right? Me and my friends, young. And I would have meetings like this in the tree house, like my friends. So that business side, the entrepreneur, was always a part of me. I think I was scared. I was putting a lot of other things first, family first, my daughter first. Also, a mentality of security working in corporate America was a piece of it. How my parents' path, their pathways was a piece of it. And I'm just tired of this. Like, it is time to do something different. And I just got fed up and I said, what's going to change? What are some things that I can change? And I was out all the time networking and growing my banking business. And it was great because the latter part of my career, I was able to work in the space of my passions. I worked with women entrepreneurs and nonprofits. So, but it wasn't satisfying enough. And I wanted to really drive my life with what was in my heart. So something kept tugging.
Tell me a little bit about that drive, because I saw that as I read the book, that throughout all of the things that you have gone through, there has been this drive to be a better version of yourself, to take a look at what's going on, how you're feeling, what are your habits, like what are all those things. And like I said to you earlier, it just struck me because so many people are afraid to do that. They are complacent. They're on the hamster wheel. Everything happens the same way. And they never even question it, I think. Or if they do, they're still stopped by it. But that wasn't the case for you. Like, there really has been a drive. So again, I think that to your parents' credit, you got a lot from them in terms of this work ethic, but this focus on what can I do to change my circumstances?
Yes. So I think it's a blessing and a curse because I act fast. And so if I think about something, I do something right away. And sometimes if we think about it too long, then the fear creeps in, the what ifs creep in. But many times I'm just like doing.
Right.
And that's how the power of the pause started. Like, I'm just doing. I am cutting 80% of my networking and I'm going to spend more time focusing on the reflection, the reassessment, what I love to do, very basic things, and quiet the chaos and noise of the world. And then one day sitting on my porch with coffee, I thought, you know, how what I'm thinking of a business, the market has to align with me, because if it doesn't, there's no success. So that was like, hey, let me reach out to like 40 people and just simply say, what do you think my top three qualities are? And if I would have thought too much about that,
yeah,
I would have started thinking, well, what are they going to think of me? What are this? What are that? So it was interesting because it was just acting fast because I wasn't focusing on those feelings, those what ifs. I was focusing on the result.
Yeah, the end result.
The end result. And it was interesting because what you said, so many people are like, I'm so proud that you are taking the time to reflect, to ask this question, which I wasn't expecting. I'm like, just give me the answers, right, type of thing. So it made people open their eyes a little bit more too. So that was an interesting strategy. And so it was working through very simple strategies. But I think it's if we think too much about it,
yeah,
we think we need the confidence. I truly believe we just need courage to start. The confidence will
comes after.
The confidence will come after. Mm-hmm. And then surrounding yourself with the right people and asking for help is a hard thing for me and for so many others. Again, what are they going to think? I should know all this, but we don't. And people want to help.
Yeah. And how interesting that, again, the first part of your journey before the loss of Maddie sort of set you up in lots of different ways to be able to then navigate her loss in a different way. Because again, what struck me from the book is just comparing it to how devastating, and not that it wasn't, but how devastating it is for people who can't grow from it, who can't move past it. Like it ends up consuming them. And I honor the fact that it felt that way for you in terms of what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the pause, your lemon council?
Community.
Community. Thank you. You was the same. All of those pieces, you know, you put around yourself to be able to then move forward. So, yeah, again, that really struck me from the book. So tell me, what has been the hardest part of building Maddie's movement for you?
One thing and one hardest thing, or I think when I first started, I was doing everything.
Yeah.
And when I first started, it was to do something. And that being said, that something turned into much more. So the hardest thing is giving myself permission that I'm not going from A to Z all at once, right? We have this messy middle in between.
Mm-hmm.
So to accept the fact of we're going to try this out and then 3 to 6 months, we're going to reassess what that looks like. Because it takes years. I mean, if you look back to different organizations and corporations, Amazon didn't start the way it is now. And it can be frustrating and draining. And the work that we're doing is very deep-rooted work. And it's sad. Our cups have to be filled often.
And we're going to get to that.
Okay.
It's important. It's such an important part.
It is.
Of the work that you're doing.
I think the hardest thing is when do you when do you bring people on board to an organization that is a startup, you're growing, you're, you have someone on board paying their salary, right? You're responsible for them.
Growing as you're growing.
Right. Exactly. Growing as we're growing. We, you know, we're flying the plane as we're building the plane, so to speak. But it's also the best part of it. It's being able to be creative and be innovative and really be able to implement something, right? There's not, we're not in corporate America. I don't have to go through all these levels of approvals and things like that.
You get to make the decision.
Yeah. Okay. And that's really great. It's really great because we can act faster for our young adults. Yeah. And so it's the hardest thing I've ever done and the most beautiful thing I've ever done. It's, I was just telling someone today that, do I work a lot? Oh yeah, I work a lot. Do I love it? Absolutely. And this is a season of my life right now that I'm okay with all of that.
Sure. That's beautiful. So in terms of Maddie's movement, what can you share with us or share with the audience? How does that work on a day-to-day basis in terms of the support that you're giving? What are you focusing on? What does that look like for a young person
Absolutely.
That's getting services?
So I can kind of walk through the path with you. When a young adult is referred to us, and many times they're referred to us by a peer, which is the best compliment because we've done our job in building trust with our young adults, is to understand we're meeting them where they're at. So that can be different things. First and foremost, do they have a safe place to live and do they have food? The basic thing. So everyone's coming in. It's not a one size fits all, coming in at different seasons of their life. Sometimes they're looking to get connected to a job. A girl was just connected to me by her guardian at Lightum because she's graduating, she's looking to get a job. I invited her to a networking event to meet people and getting her connected with different opportunities in what she's looking for. So everyone's a little bit different. So our goal is success for us is to ensure that our young adults are self-sufficient, have the success that they're looking for.
Oh, that I love that because that's really about meeting them where they are as it relates to what they need, but also really cueing in. Yeah, that's the right word. Cueing into what are their dreams? What do they want to accomplish in the world?
And their world is very limited. So a big piece of what we do and will continue to do is create exposure for them. Exposure. One of our young adults recently said, I would love to go see a home and for someone to tell me your couch will be right there. Your dining room table will be right there because they've not experienced that. So there's so many elements of their lives that if you don't know, you don't know. Many things we
take for granted
and take
because it's just part of life and it's never been any different.
So the exposure piece, it's either exposing them what they can work towards, like you can have a home, you can have this career, and then helping them build that path forward. And it's, we have connectors inside our organization. So it is connecting them to resources that are already existing, that are really great resources. It's putting the puzzle together. That's the best way I can say it, is we need to be able to do a great job of assessment and then having our puzzle box and pulling out the right pieces to put the path together and then working with our connector on the inside of the organization to make sure they're moving forward. And then working with our advocates, which is a new program that you're a part of.
Yep. Excited.
To really be an extension of us and teach our young adults how to build community. How do you build your lemon community? Because we all need a network.
Yeah.
So that is our ecosystem. And for some young adults, it may take 6 months to a year. For others, it could take 4 years. just based on their where they're at
and what they're. I think one of the things that's so beautiful about the work that you're doing, and when you kind of look at the whole of it, is so much that you were doing for yourself at the beginning in terms of all the networking and working with women and entrepreneurs, and like you created this network and this system of people who know, like, and trust you, mm-hmm. that you can now sort of not use in, but use to yeah. your advantage in terms of helping. So I love that you took one of your young adults and took them networking, you Absolutely. Know, to meet the people who could potentially help them. And I think that I saw on Facebook, did you guys not go to a radio station or a TV station or something like that to kind of, again, the exposure that you were talking about?
We did. We did. One of our young adults, Carissa, is graduating with her communications degree, and she wants to be a news anchor and she wants to be a speaker. So I said, well, let's go meet those people. Let's go see the space and see what opportunities and what does that pathway look like for you. So we did. We went to Channel 8, and Dia Riley has been a great supporter of us and shared our story. So she hooked us up with some executive producers, and Chris and I got to tour the studio and detail and meet different people and understand how they got to where they're at, and giving her advice. And now she has them as contacts
yes.
to help her along the way. And she was so excited about it.
My God. I mean, the work is pretty amazing. And what struck me about what you were just saying is this, the boldness that you have. Like, because of this organization, because of Maddie's movement, like, you really are needing to be bold and just putting it out there. And you're showing people how to do that. Like, this is what you want. Okay, this is what we need to do. And again, not giving yourself too much time to go, okay, how do I figure this out? Or do I do it this way or that way? But just making it happen. And the modeling that you're doing for these young adults, that in and of itself, I think is huge.
Hmm. Yes, that I don't see it often that way. But it is true, right? People are watching us more than they're listening to us.
Yes.
And I think it's just, these kids deserve it. And that is my one thing that I'm focusing on. So however we're going to make it happen, we're going to make it happen. So that fear doesn't creep in, because it's for them.
Right. And that is super clear. Like, we are doing this and we will figure it out however that needs to be.
Yeah.
And the other part for me, from a spiritual law of attraction perspective, is that when you make that decision, like, the universe conspires to make it happen. Mm. Like, you've got this, like, you've got your support system, and then you've got this other support system that is right there helping you to create these opportunities for these young people. I was going to ask you to tell me a story about a young adult, but I think that the one that you just described and taking them to the station, that was really, really good. I want to talk a little bit about, and this will lead into what we just sort of mentioned, and this idea of it's what you're building is not just a nonprofit. It's honoring Maddie. And so you're dealing with what I would say this edge around leading a legacy-based mission while also holding grief and leadership. Like, it's all in there. So tell me a little bit about how you manage that.
It varies.
Okay.
It varies. We're 2 weeks out to Maddie's 5 years. And for me, in this time period, if I sit with it too much, I can feel the pain too much. So I'm just going to be busy with what I have to do. Is that okay? Yeah, it's okay. I'm okay to do that. I had to learn many things of not beating myself up over things because of ways I was feeling or you know, why wasn't I, why couldn't I save my daughter? Why wasn't I there? You know, I'm a bad mom if I'm not crying all the time. All of these things that I had to learn and practice, like anything else, learn and practice that I I'm staying here for a moment. I'm going to feel it, but it's okay for me to move on.
Yeah.
And not have that guilt piece of it. So now when I'm like, when this pain is so raw, especially at this time for me, yeah, I'm going to stay busy. And that's healthy. That's healthy for me.
Because it's intentional.
It's intentional. I'm aware. I'm aware of what's happening.
Yes.
I can feel it. And I think when we can come to terms with things and not push things away,
right.
Like the grief is so big, and grief doesn't get smaller. I don't care how much time goes by. It does not get smaller. But we have to learn to move it around. I say it's like a baby, right? You're pregnant and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable. You have to live with it that way. And then you have this little baby and then you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. And then you have the baby on your hip and you're cooking and then you figure it out. And I feel that grief is like that. We have to learn to befriend it, because I had to finally give up the fight. Like, I used to ask my therapist, when is this feeling going to go away? When I can't do this anymore? And when I, it was like, it's not, it is not going away. But what can I do to, one, befriend the grief and say, okay, you're here. How do we do this now? And then work on different strategies, healthy strategies on how to cope at different times. Yeah.
One of the things that struck me with the book was this real focus on the kindness piece and the kindness piece to ourselves in that situation. And I love that you just said all of that, because that just really brings it back to, at the end of the day, you're doing the best job that you can and you're figuring it out.
Yeah.
And I even underlined it, and we'll talk about it later. That quote of, it doesn't go away, but what we learn to do is grow around it or grow with it in a way that helps to remember. Because again, the thing that struck me was that you've gone through all of this, and again, an unimaginable loss, and yet who you've become as a result of it is incredible. Like, based on what you're doing, how you're helping, and the example that you're being around that. Because like for me, in doing this with you, it's two parts. It's the discussion and how do you go through something like that and be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sometimes you are and sometimes you're not, so I get that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, okay. And doing this movement with Maddie's with Maddie's movement and really affecting a lot of lives in an incredibly powerful way. And that is why I think your book is so important. The journal is so important. We'll talk about that later. What's the ripple effect that you want to have with Maddie's movement?
I want the young adults that we serve to be able to know how to serve back. I would say like 99% of them want to make it better for the younger generation. They are very aware many things are not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when we can choose to take control of what we can do, And the power that it has when a young adult can talk to a young adult that has walked similar paths is powerful. When I meet a mom that has lost a child, there's a special connection.
Yeah. Immediate, I'm sure.
Immediate, because we can say, yeah, no, they don't understand, you know, and people say this and stupid things. Mm-hmm. And I feel, and I know our young adults are that way. And when I have conversations, I'll say, we may have not walked the same path. However, I understand that of why people are on drugs, why people become addicts to cover this unimaginable pain up. Like, I understand.
Yeah.
But how do we teach, right, healthy ways when you've never been taught that?
Right.
So for me, the ripple effect is to have our young adults working with us, to have our young adults as advocates, to have our young adults go out and use their voice and give them the opportunity for that. That is the ripple effect. And they carry Maddie's name. So that's that extra layer where Maddie said, I want everyone to know my name in the world because of a positive work I do. I don't have it all together, but I have a plan to change the world. And our young adults know our why, and it makes it more special. But that's the ripple effect.
That's a beautiful ripple effect. Again, on both levels, in terms of the honoring of Maddie and her vision and her spirit. But then in each person's life, that you're affecting that change and what they can then do. That is just like huge.
Yes.
I could see how that could fuel you.
100%.
Fuel you. Both of those things. All right. So for somebody who is watching and has a desire, what would you say to them about what would be a first step, or what might they need to start thinking about that could help them start on that path?
I would tell them that a little bit goes a long way. Many people think, if I don't adopt, if I don't foster, then I can't really make a change. And that's not true at all. Mm-hmm. So I would say, if you're wanting to give back to someone that really is looking for support and you can make a difference, to reach out to Maddie's Movement, whether it's becoming an advocate, becoming a volunteer, or just doing some normal things with our young adults.
Yeah. Because as you said, there's so much that we take for granted that they don't. And so small kindnesses, small interactions, all of that can make a huge difference.
It does make a difference.
For sure. What partnerships or type of community support create the biggest lift for you with Maddie's Movement?
Definitely partnerships with different companies to give our young adults opportunities, mentorships, internships within a company, even to come spend the day with them. If they're interested in a certain career, they're interested in becoming an attorney, be able to spend a day. What does that look like? That is a big piece of it. And other nonprofits in our community that we can partner with and be part of the solution. Like, I tell all of our nonprofits and for-profits, do you want to be part of the solution? Like, let's figure this out together.
Right.
So it becomes a win-win-win for everyone.
Right. I just had this thought, like, what a cool job to work at Maddie's Movement and be that person who gets to go out to the corporations and everything to say, hey, let me tell you about Maddie's Movement and how you might be able to help. That would be so cool.
And you would be so surprised to hear people to say, I was in foster care, or I adopted someone. We hear it all the time. And we're giving them a way to give back.
Yeah.
And with our other nonprofits, we are also giving them a way to be able to be part of this mission to help kids as they're aging out in foster care.
Yeah. I mean, in the foster care system, there's so many points where, you know, support is needed, but definitely this aging out process, because if you've had a sense of reliance on the system, so to speak, because that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. The way that it's set up now, I mean, thank God for Maddie's movement and really being able to kind of support them. Effie, thank you so much.
Thank you
for coming today and being part of what I'm trying to do in terms of helping people to know the beautiful work that you're doing and other nonprofits and just other people who are wanting to make a big impact, because that's what makes the difference. Absolutely. Like us showing up and being bold and just making it happen.
Just do it, right?
Yeah.
Someone says that very well.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
But thanks for creating the space and for being the voice and for everything that you do.
Oh,
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm super excited about being part of Maddie's movement as an advocate and mentor. So I'm really excited about that.
Good.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.